Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church as we gather together in the sanctuary once again, and of course online at home too. Welcome to you as well. A few announcements and just kind of reminders for you as we come back to worship. First of all, make sure to always follow the direction of the ushers. They're there to help you follow the guidelines that we're trying to follow for social distancing. So thank you for honoring those. Secondly, we've printed everything for you in these bulletins here, even the hymns. So you can just follow right along in the bulletin. And we ask that as you sing, please hold the bulletin up so as to eliminate spray for those in front of you. In that same spirit, you'll notice that I will be leading most of the service behind the altar as well. As I do, I think this is also a good opportunity for us to remember what this altar symbolizes for us. The altar in the Old Testament is where they would sacrifice the animals to atone for sin, and so it reminds us of what Christ has done for us. It's also where they would give thank offerings, and so we come together to praise and thank God too today. So God gives us a good reminder with that. Today we will be celebrating, as in the season of Pentecost here, the work of the Holy Spirit, and especially the work of the Holy Spirit in the holy ministry, the ministry of the Word. That's today's theme. And that's not just the fact that God has called pastors and teachers and shepherds and leaders in this ministry, but also our role, all of us, in sharing that word. So we'll celebrate that today. And in that same spirit, we open with hymn 561, Lord, speak to us that we may speak. And God bless your worship this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has made you His child forever. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Jesus,
O God, protector of all the faithful, you alone make strong. You alone make holy. Show us your mercy and forgive our sins day by day. Guide us through our earthly lives that we do not lose the things you have prepared for us in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson this morning comes from Numbers chapter 27. Here we see, as Moses gets to the end of his ministry, we see his pastoral heart come through as he prays to God for another leader who would carry and lead the people by God's word. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses. The word of the Lord. We respond with, "O Christ who called the 12." Second lesson today comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. where we see Paul's pastoral heart come through with prayers for his people and ask for prayers in return for the gospel work. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day from Psalm 132 includes a prayer and a wish for God's representatives as well as for all of God's people. Alleluia. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. Alleluia. The gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapters 9 and 10. Here we see Jesus himself ask and pray for workers and then fulfill that prayer and even give them the message to share. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The Gospel of the Lord. We continue with the hymn of the day, I Hear the Savior Calling.
Thank you.
God's grace and God's peace are yours, brothers and sisters, as is the message that proclaims it. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson from 2 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your ministry of encouragement. Amen. The man had recently lost his job. It wasn't a job that changed the world by any means, but the pandemic sure changed his. And it's not like anybody was hiring someone with his skill set because the whole industry was being hit hard by the virus. So he was jobless and without prospects. But that wasn't all. He was also all alone. What perfect timing it was that 2 weeks before the pandemic hit the country, his girlfriend broke up with him. She had been the only one that supported him in his decision to get his life right, be a good man, and even go back to church after all those years. All of his friends, so-called friends, had made fun of him for that, and at first it started out with just little jibes. Then it eventually had turned into insults and arguments and unreturned phone calls. And now the one who had supported him through all of that wasn't returning his calls either. And even the decision he had made was starting to crumble, and he knew it. He had started to backslide, going back into unhealthy habits and sinful choices. He was questioning his faith again and drifting away. But if he was being honest, he wasn't just questioning the truth of it all. He's questioning his faith. He had thought that he had gotten back on the right path and had been in God's good graces again, but apparently it was just a blip on the radar, just a temporary upswing in what was the general downward slope of his life. He wondered if God was punishing him or had abandoned him. He didn't know. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to think. He didn't know where to go. Couldn't go anywhere. Everything was shut down. Didn't want to go online. So much anger and hatred and violence and arguing, it just made everything worse. He knew he just needed to hear something, anything, positive and encouraging from someone, anyone. So he went to the one person who had regularly shared encouragement with him. He went to his pastor. After updating his pastor on everything that had happened, the pastor said, "Well, it sounds like you could use a reminder, Ethan." "A reminder?" the man said. "A reminder of what?" "A reminder of the most basic truth of Christianity," the pastor said. "A reminder that God loves you." "You do know that God loves you, right, Ethan?" "I don't know," he said. The pastor said, what did the Bible say?" "It says he does," the man replied. "That's right, it says he does. And how did he prove that to you, Ethan? Whom did he send?" The man said, "He sent Jesus," almost begrudgingly. "That's right, he sent Jesus. And did he send Jesus because you deserve it or you earned it in any way?" The man had a Bible passage flash through his mind. "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And he answered, "No." "That's right, Ethan. It's not because you deserved it at all. And yet God still sent Jesus for you. God still loves you even though you don't deserve it. What do we call that again?" "It's called grace, Pastor." "That's right. It's called grace. So there's your first reminder. God loves you even when you don't deserve it." The man thought about it for a second, but then his shoulders sagged. And he said, "If I'm being honest, Pastor, the problem isn't God's love. The problem is mine, my love. I just feel so weak. I'm doing things I know I shouldn't do. I'm questioning the truth of it all. I'm backsliding, and it just feels like falling away is inevitable." The pastor said, "Well, of course it does." The man was a little shocked by this and was taken aback a little bit. Says, "What? You knew this whole time I wasn't going to make it, huh? Why even waste your time with me?" "No, no, no. It's nothing like that," the pastor said. "Of course it seems like you're going to fall away, and it's inevitable when you're looking for strength in yourself. Our hearts are affected and poisoned by our sinful nature. You're not going to find strength in there. We're weak as can be. You are not the source of your strength, Ethan. The source comes from somewhere else." The man said, "Oh, where, Pastor? Let me guess. From God, right? Yeah, well, I hate to break it to you, but I've prayed to God for strength again and again, and I still don't feel any stronger." The pastor said, "Well, first of all, just because you don't feel stronger doesn't mean that God hasn't strengthened you. Secondly, what does God use to bring you strength, Ethan? Do you remember?" "I don't know, Pastor. Class was a long time ago." I know, Pastor said, "but let me help you out. I'll give you a couple of passages, see if you can remember them. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." "That's right. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." "That's right. See, you know that. Why do you think I had you memorize those passages all those years ago? You just need to review them a little bit more." God gives you strength through the gospel, that message of good hope. You know, there's another passage, Ethan, that we didn't really memorize all that much, but it's in Colossians. Paul says, "Continue to live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." Now, in order to be overflowing with thankfulness, Ethan, you got to be reminded of what you're thankful for. What Christ has done for you, and that's the gospel message. That's where you find your strength. And where else do you find that gospel message? "I don't remember, Pastor," the man said. You also find that, let me give you a hint, it's something to do with a washing. There's another one that has to do with an eating or a drinking. "Baptism and the Lord's Supper," the man answered flatly. "Yep. More blessings of strength from our God. That's His gospel." "But if God's word is so powerful, Pastor," the man said, "then why doesn't everyone believe it? You look out there and nobody cares. You share the Bible with somebody and they almost laugh at you. At the very least, they look down on you." The pastor said, "Ethan, they're not really looking down on you. Not really. They're looking down on Him. That's not going to end well for people who do that. Yet even still, God is trying to reach out to them through you and me." Now, I can't be surprised when people reject God and His word from us, because that's our sinful condition, all of us. And yet, look at you and me. We are proof that God's word is powerful. We trust in our God. We trust in our Savior. We trust in His word. Now, it's not easy. I'll give you that. And you think it was easy for those who brought us to faith, or our parents, or their parents, or so on? No. It's not easy. So, pray, Ethan, and continue to do so for those who share that message. Continue to pray that people can honor that message, as people have been doing for thousands of years. And pray for yourself too, Ethan, as you share it with others. What others? The man said. I'm all alone. No one cares about me. No one returns my phone calls or texts. How can I share it with others? The pastor said, all right, first of all, stop saying you're alone when I'm sitting right in front of you, all right? Secondly, you do what you can, how you can, when you can. You take advantage of every opportunity God puts in front of you, and you don't think of any opportunity as too small. You leave a good life, even, can do a lot, Ethan. It can go a long way, especially when people are hurting and surrounded by darkness and violence and anger and hatred. Showing the love of Christ might spread the message to someone, even just one person, so that salvation comes to them. Yeah, okay, one person, Pastor, the man said, but one person might hear me out when 99 others probably want to stone me if they could. Yeah, it's not easy, the pastor responded. It's not easy. The enemies of the gospel are many. The devil's hard at work out there. There's lots of opposition, lots of persecution, false teachings, false religions everywhere, false ways of thinking being pushed. Meanwhile, Christianity and Christians are hated for having a message of God's complete grace and forgiveness. Many enemies of that gospel, though. But you know what, Ethan? If you take all of those enemies, even the devil included, and they don't stand a chance against God. Think of it this way. It's as if all of those people all together could bench press 100 pounds. And God can bench press a billion. And if a God who forgives your sins, who brought you to faith in Him, who strengthens you through His Word, is that strong and He loves you, well, He's going to use that mighty strength to protect you. He's going to protect you against the opposition of Him. He's going to protect you against the temptations of the devil. And He's going to strengthen you in that. You can count on it. And that really hit the man. And it brought up a question that he had had numerous times. And he knew that the answer to this question could make the difference if he was going to make it or not. He swallowed hard, took a deep breath, and he asked his pastor, when that happens, Pastor, when that moment of evil comes, is there something I can tell myself? Is there something that you tell yourself? You know, when that opposition and persecution or the weakness or feeling all alone, if that comes, what can I remind myself? Do you have anything? Pastor leaned in and he said, Christ. Christ, the man said, that's it? No, not Christ, that's it, the pastor said. Christ is not just some word. It's not just some word where some magical incantation that'll suddenly disperse all the difficulties you're having in your life, Ethan. But think about what goes into that word, that name. He was anointed by God to suffer hell for you. He suffered opposition from His own people, persecution, temptation from the devil. He was beaten and crucified by His government for you. He did all of that and persevered through it for you. Look at what God has brought about through it for you. So in that moment, when that comes, you remember that Christ is your hope, and not just your hope, but your example. Because look at what Christ did. Through all of that, He focused on, directed His heart on the end result, and that was you, your salvation. So when that moment comes, you direct your hearts on the end goal, just like He did. Think about the forgiveness that you have, the salvation, living with God forever. And there we go, Ethan. We have come full circle. Your God loves you and wants to live with you forever. You have eternal hope. All of that is summarized in one word: Christ. I've got an assignment for you, Ethan. When you get home, I'd like you to grab your Bible, open it up, and read a portion of Scripture. Do you think you could do that? Of course I can do that, Pastor, the man said. All right, good. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. In it, you can tell that the Thessalonians are confused. They're facing opposition and persecution from others. And they just, in general, need guidance from their pastor, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul warns them about the Antichrist and his work, and then he shares something with them, a message that I think will help you, especially with everything you're going through. Seems pretty fitting, I guess, the man said. Good. Here, let me write down the reference for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 to 3:5. I think if you read that, you'll see that the meaning of your name, Ethan, will indeed hold true. Thanks, Pastor, the man said. The man and his pastor prayed together. He thanked his pastor and he left. On his way home, he could tell things were a little bit better. Still had his worries, but it was a good start. When he got home, he grabbed his Bible, opened it up, and checked the reference that his pastor had given him, and he began reading. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Even though they were Paul's words to the Thessalonians, the man felt like God was speaking to him through those words. Was he speaking to you? Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen. We now join together to confess our faith in Christ publicly, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 8.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
While we aren't able to gather an offering here in the service, we do ask that you leave your offerings in the plates on your way out, or continue giving online if you have been doing that. Thank you very much. We now continue with the prayer of the church on page 9. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
Lord God, King of the universe, direct the governments of the world so that we may live quiet and peaceful lives. Protect us from crime and war. Let freedom and religion flourish, that the gospel may be freely preached throughout the world. Cast down rulers who oppress their people. Remove governments who oppose the gospel. Bring relief to persecuted Christians. Bless our church with pastors and teachers who faithfully proclaim your word. Lead many young men and women to study for the preaching and teaching ministries. By the power of your gospel, motivate them so that they do not become discouraged, but continue in the course you have set for them. Almighty God, we praise you for blessing those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you day by day and in their relationships. Lord of body and life, please show the power of your almighty hand and the comfort of your grace to those suffering from illness, injury, or surgery, including Bonnie Ball, Don Thorne, Cheryl Scaltetti's mom, Carol Johnson, and Mark Ross's mom, Margaret. Give them and their families the reminder of your love in Christ, as well as the hope of eternal joys with you in heaven. Now hear us as we pray for a family member, a friend, or for others who do not yet believe in you. Make us the answer to our prayers for others. Move us to share the gospel with those for whom we have just prayed. Bless the preaching of the gospel everywhere, here among us and in far corners of the world. Let your kingdom come to us and to many others.
And the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will hear.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the next hymn, Lord of the Living Harvest.
Thank you.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is I Love to Tell the Story. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure worshiping you with you in God's house and online this morning. Did you get a little scared there when you got to the end of the service, but you're only in the middle of the book? You notice that? I accidentally let one little space get to page 17, and it added a whole bunch more pages, so sorry about that. A few announcements for you this morning. Visitors, welcome to you. Thank you for joining us here and online. If you get a chance, please fill out our online connection card. We're not handing them out here in the sanctuary nowadays, but you can still fill it out online to let us know that you came and if you have any questions about our ministry here at St. Mark's. There is no adult Bible study today, so just remember that. No adult Bible study today. Teen class will meet in the teen room. Sunday school will meet again in the gym. For that, please come between 9:20 and 9:30. Parents are encouraged to come with their children. Parents with younger children must come with their children as we're following social distancing there as well. We have a new teacher coming, Hannah Stegman. She's going to be coming here, I believe, next month, but we're going to have a gift card. Kind of celebration for her to kind of help her and welcome her here in town. So if you get a chance, I think there's a box somewhere in the lobby. If you get a chance to bring a gift card right over there, drop it right in that box for her. That can help her in her transition. That's really helpful for the called workers. LWMS Mission Box is around too. So if you get a chance, LWMS is going to be supporting summer student assistance. Any more information on that you can find in the weekly news. So check that out. And now we'll take a second to watch the Wells Connection for this month.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Wells Christian Aid and Relief is a lifeline for those in extraordinary need, but it's also an opportunity for us to put our Christian faith into action, showing Jesus' love to strangers who might soon become our brothers and sisters in Christ.
When disaster strikes, Wells Christian Aid and Relief mobilizes to organize volunteers, people like Janella and her family, who canceled their vacation so they could be here, showing Christ's love to those in need after a tornado devastated this community.
Well, we're supposed to serve our neighbor. We have been called to serve as the Wells.
People have had so many troubling times when they just can't protect themselves and can't do this by themselves. So we Christians stand up for them in times of need.
Disaster relief efforts like this one in Panama City, Florida, have a twofold purpose. We begin by helping people with their immediate needs, and those efforts naturally build relationships that give us an opportunity to share our Christian faith.
And so we find that as we show Christ's love to people, a lot of times they're interested in learning more. Sometimes they visit our services, we build a connection with them, and we get to tell them about Jesus.
Volunteers also help repair hurricane damage to our church in Panama City. And services have now resumed. Today, the church is a beacon of Christ's love in a community that was once broken.
God's love has shined through, and all the volunteers who came really built these people up.
Christian aid and relief depends on individuals like you who can help identify those in need. So, even if there isn't a natural disaster in your area, perhaps there are victims of a house fire or a person with major medical bills.
Keep your eyes and ears open. Is there a member in need? Are you going to reach out to them as a congregation? Come and talk to us. We can assist your local efforts.
In recent years, Christian Aid and Relief has expanded its work overseas, helping with projects like this well that brings safe drinking water to hundreds. Our strategy is to place these wells near mission churches as a way to build a bridge to the gospel message.
Sort of like the Samaritan woman came to Jesus to receive the living water, people come to get water for the body, but they go away learning about Jesus.
Not everyone can travel to a disaster site to pitch in, but Wells Christian Aid and Relief represents all of us by organizing volunteers, helping provide for basic needs, and assisting individuals in extraordinary situations. All this work follows from Jesus' simple command to love our neighbor as he has loved us.
Everybody is working together as if they were all one big family.
Young Solomon, whom you just saw, highlights an important point, that volunteering to help others can be a family activity. It's hard to imagine a better way to teach our children that Christian love is not just words, it's action.
Wells Christian Aid and Relief does a lot of great work. When we were in India, they helped us with a lot of different things, donating maybe medical equipment that was needed in the hospitals. But their biggest thing that we did was bore wells like that. You go to small villages, they have to walk for miles for water. So how easy is it for us to spend some money, dig a bore well, that way it's right there in their village. And then with each one, they had a plaque with a big cross on it. And then people knew that this came from that local Christian church. So just an easy way to do that. But you have many opportunities to do that in much easier ways with the people around you. So may God continue to bless you as you do that. A few announcements or reminders for you as you're walking out. First of all, the bulletins that you have, we're not going to reuse those. So either bring them home or drop them in the recycling bins on the way out. Also, your offerings, the plate is there, just a reminder of that. The ushers, follow the direction of the ushers as they usher you out. However, we'll start with the balcony, and then after the balcony, we'll go to the lobby, and from there, follow their direction, we'll go from back to front once again. May God bless you as you continue to fulfill the calling that he has given you, that is to share his word. Blessings on your week.